Hello and welcome to this Oxford Energy podcast. I'm here today with Professor Jonathan Stern and Katya Efimova, and we're going to discuss their work on the EU competition investigation into Gazprom sales to Central and Eastern Europe. So, as I understand it, DG Comp started this investigation into Gazprom's business activities about 7 years ago, and in May 2018 we finally has a resolution. But perhaps we could start with outlining what the key issues were before we get into the detail.
So the key issues were that Gazprom had been held to account on contractual barriers to the free flow of gas. It had to give an obligation to facilitate gas flows to and from isolated markets, in particular the Baltic states and Bulgaria. It was required to give an assurance that it would give competitive gas prices, which means hub level gas prices, in all those markets where it had a dominant position. And it was required to say that it would no longer leverage its dominance in gas supply in relation to gas infrastructure.
So, as I understand it, in the face of the objections, it was fairly intransigent to start with, but then became more willing to cooperate, and around 2015, 2016 came up with a response. Katya, could you just outline the details of the response before we get into the implications?
Well, overall, DG Comp was positive in commenting on this set of commitments. It stated that the commitments, if accepted, will enable the free flow of gas in Central and Eastern Europe at competitive prices. It said that they would address DigiComp's concerns and provide a forward-looking solution in line with EU rules and will help to better integrate gas markets in the region. So overall, very positive response of DigiComp, which then was obliged under law to launch a market test to invite third parties to comment on this set of Gazprom's commitments in order to take these responses later on into account when arriving at final decision on whether or not to accept their commitments.
So in terms of the actual detail of the commitments then, the first objection was about hindering the free flow of gas across markets. So yeah. So could you sort of talk to me about how Gazprom has responded? I understand that's around destination clauses in contracts. So what specifically has Gazprom promised to do from here?
Gazprom effectively promised that territorial restrictions will no longer be applied in existing contracts, and those clauses will not be introduced in future contracts. So it's a very important commitment, and that would enable free flow of gas in Central Eastern Europe.
And I'm correct in assuming that actually Gazprom had been breaking EU rules on that issue, and therefore, you know, the European Commission had a very powerful argument with Gazprom on that issue.
That's true. Territorial restrictions and destination clauses are, in particular, is a violation of EU competition law, and that's one of the key issues in the statement of objections, that DG Comp was on its strongest ground.
And in terms of the comments from outsiders, if you like, who've been looking at the DG Comp ruling, the Poles particularly were focused on wanting Gazprom fined and paying compensation. I guess that was around this issue where they felt that Gazprom really had broken the rules.
The fine was really about two issues, that the issue of destination clauses, but also the claim that that Poland and other countries had been overcharged for gas for a long period of time, and that required either a fine or compensation to those countries. And DG Comp clearly looked at this and didn't see that there was justification for that conclusion.
Okay, and so to come back then to the kind of obstructing the free flow of gas, I understand from your paper that the other thing that's been conceded is that customers can kind of nominate where they take delivery of gas. Is that correct? And what do you think the implications of that are?
The correct thing is that customers in Poland, Slovakia and Hungary got a right to request a change in delivery points to where their gas could be delivered in the future. to the Baltics or in South and Eastern Europe. And it's important commitment, not on its own, but it also potentially could have a wider implications, because in the future, a refusal to justifiably change a delivery point could be construed as anti-competitive behavior. So that is a commitment that would might have implications beyond this inquiry.
So essentially, any European customer could nominate a delivery point, for example, on the Russian-Ukrainian border even, and Gazprom would not be able to turn that down?
I don't think that's a clear implication. The implication is that for these countries that were involved in the investigation, they can nominate a change in delivery points. But associated with that, there is a service fee that Gazprom can charge them. And there has been some rather technical discussion of the level of that service fee. But essentially, this is not yet extended to non-Central East European countries.
Okay, so kind of an implication, but not necessarily a conclusion.
Precisely.
Okay. So on the second issue then, I think Gazprom was accused of using its kind of monopoly power to influence infrastructure decisions, specifically, I think it's South Stream. Where have we come out on that? What's the now the new relationship around Gazprom and how it interacts with countries that might be building infrastructure?
Gazprom made certain commitments in respect of Bulgarian case. It agreed to waive any penalties and fines from Bulgaria, which would result from cancellation of South Stream project. But another and more important issue is that Gazprom has agreed to make steps which would simplify interconnection of Bulgaria with adjacent EU member states, particularly with Greece, and would allow better integration of Bulgaria with adjacent markets for its gas deliveries. It agreed to introduce contractual changes in Bulgarian contracts and in Greek contracts to achieve this objective. And that is also an important step for integration of southeastern European markets.
Okay, so not only is it not abusing its monopoly power anymore, it's actually facilitating the ability of those markets to interconnect.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Okay, so that's an important step then. But I guess the one most people have been focused on and the most interesting one is around pricing. So if I understand correctly, initially Gazprom was accused of unfair pricing tactics. The word unfair obviously leaves a lot to be interpreted, but I think that's been refined a bit more. And so what's happened there, Jonathan?
I think this is a really groundbreaking judgment by the Competition Authority, because Gazprom is now required to charge competitive prices defined as hub prices in Europe and further refined in after the market test to be TTF or NCG prices, even for countries like the Baltics and Bulgaria that are not yet joined up to hubs. And Gazprom is also required to change the prices that it charges the countries when hub prices change. There's a lot of other material about price reviews and bringing these into line with West European price reviews and arbitral proceedings. But this decision that competitive prices for those countries will be defined as hub prices, despite the fact that as yet they're not within reach of hubs, is a very important decision.
And is the price the hub price plus transportation, or the hub price minus transportation if the country is closer to Russia?
That's a very interesting question, and I'm not sure we know the detail of that, and that's probably something for negotiation. But it's very clear in the judgment that if the negotiation fails, they can go to arbitration immediately, and the arbitrators will probably refer back to the spirit of the DG Comp judgment, which is this needs to be as close to hub prices as possible.
And if I remember correctly from your initial research, there was some question about what the benchmark price would be, but that's been resolved now. There's no question about what the benchmark is.
This is one result of the market test that we said, and a number of objectors said, it's not clear what's meant by competitive prices at hubs. Well, that's been seriously clarified.
Okay, fine. And so my previous question about the implications, broader implications, again, is this for Central and Eastern European only, or does this have a much broader European implication, which is that Gazprom really can't do anything other than charge hub prices?
Well, I mean, my interpretation is that this is a very broad implication for Gazprom, but actually it's an implication for all gas suppliers to Europe, that anyone who is trying to argue in an arbitration that they should be able to charge something other than hub prices, this is the highest competition regulatory judgment that no, competitive prices have to be charged, and that means hub prices.
And why do you think Gazprom conceded on this? I mean, given that the markets aren't yet interconnected, why did Gazprom feel that now was the time to concede?
My view is, and this applies to a lot of what they have conceded, is that essentially what they've seen is that this is happening anyway in Europe. These developments, particularly on pricing, within a couple of years, all Central East European countries, with the possible exception of some of the smaller former Yugoslav republics, will be connected to a hub because of the interconnections that are happening. So essentially what Gazprom, I think, recognised was, well, we're going to have to concede this anyway, so let's try and close this case by conceding it now.
So let's talk about the people who aren't happy about this outcome. I mean, DG Comp's announced that it's concluded the investigation, and yet I think we know after the market testing there were some complaints, I mean, particularly from polls. Where do the people who aren't happy go from here? Is that it? Is it over? Or are there any further steps they can take?
I, by and large, believe this is over. It is possible that if any party like Poland is unhappy, and it is unhappy about the judgment, it might try to launch a legal action against it. But in my view, even if that happens, the outcome of this legal action would be in favour of upholding the set of commitments, precisely because they actually do meet the DG Comp's concerns, and Gazprom made step forward offering extra commitments on top of the initial set of commitments, which took into account the substantiated concerns expressed during the market test by several third parties. And in my view, that is pretty much the case closed.
And just to be clear, if Poland did want to take it to the courts, would it be the European Court of Justice, or where would we go?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, fine. So from a Gazprom perspective, let's just say they happen to break the rules again. What happens then?
Well, if Gazprom breaks the rules, because now the judgment has been decided, the commitments accepted, it's now legally binding for 8 years, the commitments were made for 8 years, then DG Comp has the right to impose a fine up to 10% of turnover, which is very significant. And what's very important, DG Comp will not have to prove that there has been violation of competition law.
And it'll presumably have to prove that Gazprom violated the agreement, though.
So the way this will work is the monitoring trustee that will be appointed to monitor this whole thing will go to DG Comp, presumably following the complaint of one of the parties, and say to DG Comp, we've had a complaint, we've looked at this complaint, we are in agreement with the complaint, and DG Comp, unless it finds that this is not reasonable, will then go through exactly what Carter has just said and impose a fine. And that would be an extraordinary thing for Gazprom to risk, given that the amount of gas that it delivers to the countries in question is relatively small in relation to its total deliveries to Europe.
And just to be clear, the time limit of 8 years, is there anything significant in that, or is that just a sort of...
What we think, I don't think either of us are sure about this, but we think that DG Comp is only empowered to actually impose these conditions for a certain time limit. And then it has, if the conditions are still relevant, it may then have to reimpose them for another time limit in the future.
So, as we've been covering in our research at the gas programme, this is one of a number of issues about, you know, Russia and Gazprom EU relations, Nord Stream 2, Opal, Ukraine transit, etc. Do you think that this resolution, which seems to have been relatively amicable and relatively positive, has anything to say about the broader EU-Russia gas relationship, or is it a distinct and separate outcome?
I think it is a distinct and separate outcome, but I think it does have something to say in a number of respects. Firstly, Gazprom has been forced to acknowledge that the law of DG Comp basically will be respected. So Gazprom has given in on virtually all the commitments that were asked. And what that, I think, has established is that Gazprom, at the highest level, recognises you want to deliver into this market, you have to play by the rules. The key problem is that if the rules keep changing in respect of Nord Stream 2 and other issues, then an element of political accusation of bias comes into this. But this was done in a highly professional way over a long period of time by the highest competition authority, and I think that's established a very good precedent.
And does it say anything about a broader Russia-EU relationship? I mean, initially the Kremlin actually banned Gazprom from getting involved in this at all. Now we've got to a situation where you've described that Gazprom essentially has conceded that it needs to abide by EU market rules. Does that say anything about the broader Kremlin-Russia-EU relationship?
Well, one would hope so, but the problem is that relationship is very much coloured by other political and geopolitical issues such as Ukraine and Crimea. So one can expect the relationship to continue to be politicised. For gas people like ourselves, what it does is to very seriously clarify what the rules are and what Gazprom must do to adhere to the rules. And that's a huge step forward compared with where we were in 2011.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. I mean, congratulations on your research, which I think forecast a lot of this outcome. Katya, Jonathan, very interesting comments. You can get this and other podcasts on our website at www.oxfordenergy.org, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. Bye-bye.